You're on the record for any appeal of Z4 Corporation, appellant, this is security appeal number 03-09-012. We're currently in room 907?
907
of the DNA building in Agani, Guam. It is approximately 11:15 a.m. on Monday, April 5th, 2010. I am Anthony Camacho. I'm the hearing officer for these proceedings. Will the members of the Office of Public Accountability please identify themselves for the record?
Those for Strict Public Auditor.
Ann Camacho, analyst.
Franklin Kupiners, auditor.
Thank you. Will the attorney for the appellant please identify himself and any institutional representatives that are with him this morning?
Ken Jackson, appearing on behalf of Z4 Corporation. And with me from Z4 Corporation is Armando Aragon.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Will the purchasing agency, the attorney for the purchasing agency, please identify herself and any institutional representatives that are with her this morning?
I'm Laura Mooney, and I'm the attorney from the Department of Education. And this particular procurement matter involves the GSA as well as DOE, and separate and apart, GSA is represented by Anita Cruz.
Okay. And we're here for a formal hearing on the merits for this appeal. This is a continued hearing pursuant to the hearing officer's order dated February 24th, 2010. The OPA basically granted the purchasing agency's motion to recess this hearing so that two of its key witnesses, Mr. Bob Cono and Ms. Katia Kwazi, could be present. Are those witnesses present today?
Yes.
Will you be calling both of them?
No, I'm going to just call Claudia Paju.
All right. Because I do know for the record that Mr. Cono is in the room, but he will not be called as a witness. Is that correct?
That is correct. He was acting chief procurement officer in her absence, and when the hearing proceeded before, I was seeking to have somebody of either the chief procurement officer present.
All right. And speaking of motions to continue, this hearing was originally scheduled for 9 a.m. this morning, but pursuant to hearing officer's order dated March 31st of 2010, granting the appellant's motion to reschedule the hearing time, we rescheduled this hearing to 11 o'clock this morning. Is that correct, Mr. Jack?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and just some housekeeping matters before we begin. Ms. Mooney, it's still your case in chief. How many witnesses do you plan on calling today?
Two. In case, at the moment, that's what I'm planning, but I may have a rebuttal witness depending on how the testimony goes back to me. If there's any other testimony presented, I may bring back in somebody else from the DOE procurement staff.
Okay. Are any of the those potential rebuttal witnesses present in the room this morning?
No, they are not.
All right. And Mr. Jackson, were you planning on calling any rebuttal witnesses?
Yes, sir.
And the OPA did call Mr. Alcantara, is that correct?
Yes.
And is Mr. Alcantara present, or was he made available this morning?
Yes, he's in the OPA conference.
Very well. And then the record was a witness called by the OPA. We're going to proceed with the purchasing agency's case in chief. And when that's done, we are going to, there are no rebuttal witnesses called by the appellant. We are going to then proceed with Mr. Alcantara's testimony. Okay. So, Ms. Mooney, you may call your...
One more housekeeping matter. At the conclusion of the last hearing, you asked me to submit 100% ocean humidification repair.
Were those the technical specifications?
The technical specifications, the 100%. And they actually look like this. This is 100% drawing. And as part of my process of complying with your request, I went to the architect and I went back to the facilities management group, and I assured that I had the 100% drawing that were actually utilized as part of the initial bid process. But as part of everything I learned, and that's what Anita Cruz is here for me, she was asking to prepare an offer draft February 24th, that these were in fact not part of the procurement file on the rebid. And they were not actually issued on the rebid.
Were they issued for the initial bid?
They were, but the actual rebid documents don't reference that they were issued on the initial bid and were being used on the rebid. The rebid documents were not redone.
Okay, so are you making a motion that those are not included as part of the procurement or record for this bid?
They're not for this bid.
Okay. Is that your understanding, Mr. Jackson?
I'll take Ms. Meany's word for the activities.
Okay, so we're not going to submit the actual technical drawings that you brought today, as they were not part of the bid for this concerning this appeal. Is that correct?
That is correct, and I already submitted them to you at your request, along with the notation from the procurement officer that they weren't part of the procurement file.
Okay. But you also submitted the technical specifications, is that correct?
Correct.
All right, yeah. Mr. Jackson, do you have a copy of the technical specifications?
I do have it.
All right.
Okay. We reduced them. They were given to bidders as a CD as well as the drawings. And we did a search to see whether a CD. I concluded that they were part of the rebid and I was unable to.
Okay. Are there any, Mr. Jackson, are there any other housekeeping matters?
I don't believe so.
Okay. And how long did you want to go? Okay, we're going to go to 12:30 with the first witness, and we'll recess for lunch at that time. Okay. Okay. Ms. Mooney, as it's your case in chief, you may call your next witness.
I'd like you to call Mr. DeRocca, Office
Insurance. And Mr. DeRocca, as you're approaching, please be careful with all the cables. So this is the first time we have used this particular room as a hearing. Mr. DeRocca, I know that you have your files there. I ask that those be removed from the witnesses or be witnessed. Okay.
Can someone hold on to that, please?
Ms. Mooney, you may proceed.
Could you tell us who you are?
I'm Victor DeRocca. I'm the Executive Vice President of Alpha Insurance.
And how long have you been with Alpha Insurance?
We incorporated this company since 1970.
And just for education purposes, can you give us a little background on the type of bonds that you issue?
Yes, we issue a lot of surety bonds for construction companies, supply bond for different companies that would like to bid another organization. We also have material bond, a wage bond, and reputation bond. But basically, we concentrate on construction.
In the construction area, there's usually a bid bond and a performance bond?
Yes, we issue a bid bond, and of course, later on, the performance bond.
Now, are your bid bonds and are your performance bonds bonds that can be used in federal contracts?
We are not a registered real estate insurance company, so we are only qualified as a local insurance company or local projects.
And on local projects, when you issue a performance bond, what is the standard time it takes for you to issue it?
Depending upon the submission of underwriting documentation by the applicant, normally we require at least within 2 weeks.
Within 2 weeks?
For any application like bid bond.
What about a performance bond?
Same thing, but it takes about 2 weeks.
About 2 weeks. Are you familiar with the Ocean View Middle School Gymnasium project?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And did you actually issue bid bonds for two different companies?
Yes, we issued two bid bonds, one for Z4 and one for A1 Construction Company.
And as part of issuing the bid bond, do you get a lot of the information that you then need for your application for the performance bond?
Yeah, of course, prior to issuing any bid bond, we have to pre-qualify the contractor, whether they're qualified contractor to join the bid. We have underwriting information that we require them. And once they submit it, and we also submit it to our head office, which is the insurance company, for their final approval.
With regard to Z4 Corporation, I was going to ask you to open that little blue notebook next to you to Exhibit 5.
This one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tab 5.
Page 1.
Yeah, tab 5. There's a little. Is that a letter from Alpha Insurers?
Yes.
Is that from you?
Yeah, I this is my letter.
Can you tell us, explain to us what you're referencing in that letter?
Well, I have signed a letter that addressed to Mr. Hunter, Administrative Supply Management, stating that pursuant to the request of Z4, when they came to our office, asking us to issue a letter whether they're qualified or not. So I have written a letter saying that the above performance bond has been approved, subject to other underwriting guidance.
Okay. At what point did you issue a performance bond with Z4?
We have not issued any performance bond on Z4 on this project.
Is the standard time for issuing a performance bond is 14 days, and you are mentioning that it's pre-approved in that letter. At what point did you stop trying to issue a performance bond?
As I said, that when I have written this letter, we have asked the Zippo, what's happening in the project, and they say that there is some kind of protest on this one. So they want us to send a letter that they're qualified to be a issue bond. As far as I'm concerned, it is stopped from that.
Okay. So 14 days from the date of your letter would have been August 27th, correct?
Yes, that will be the date.
Okay, and there was no bond issued before?
No, and they never request any bond for continuous to issue the bond.
They never requested anything further for
the... Except this letter.
Thank you. Mr.
Jackson, your witness.
Morning, Mr. Rocha. You indicated that your company does not issue out federal bonds.
Yeah, we're not qualified to be a registered listed federal bond project, which is basically a required electricity distribution company.
So you could be a preferred federal bond company. I mean, are there other companies on Guam that do that?
They have other companies that are doing the pressure release, which qualify the pressure release for insurance company, U.S. pressure release for insurance company.
Now, are you aware that Z4 has been approved for federal bond?
Not for what I have understand that other project that was probably federal bond.
Now, you, on your August 13th letter, you indicated that Z4's bond had been approved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then Z4, then later told you that there was a protest on this project and that they didn't finalize the request for the performance bond, is that right?
That's what my underwriter told me.
Okay. And you said that obtaining a performance bond takes about 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Is it unusual for it to take a little more time?
Well, as I said, depending on the construction company, as far as the experience that we have, if they're new or just they've been with us for several years, it will take a little bit, probably less than, 2 weeks.
Okay. No further questions.
Mr. DeRosa, the hearing officer for these proceedings, on behalf of the Office of Accountability. Is it harder to get a federal bond than a local bond, performance bond?
Oh, yeah. It's one of the biggest problems now with the construction industry.
The difficulty of getting a federal performance bond?
Mm-hmm. Because the U.S. Special Listed Insurance Company requires a very rigid examination of the qualifier.
And if a contractor, in fact, had a federal performance bond for a project, would that make it more likely that Alpha Insurance would issue that same company a local bond?
Well, I said that we are only good for the local bond. If our bond will be accepted to any federal funded project, like we have before, then we have to look at the qualifying underwriting requirements, whether we can issue or not.
So you're saying that if a company had a federal accepted performance bond, it wouldn't make any difference to Alpha Insurers in the issuance of a performance bond locally for that company?
No, there's no problem.
There's no problem?
Right.
Okay, what do you mean by there's no problem?
We can issue them a local project, even though they have a federally funded U.S. Treasury bonding facilities. We can still issue an insurance bond at the request, as long as the contractor is qualified.
But does it make Alpha's job easier if that same company has a federal bond when it's issuing a local?
Yeah, because if they can qualify as a federally bonding company, if they qualify as U.S. Treasury listed, then it's much better, meaning that they have more qualification than the local bank.
That's your knowledge at the time that you wrote this letter in August 31st of 2009, which was Exhibit 5. To your knowledge, were you aware, if at all, that Z4 Car Corporation had been approved for a federal performance bond?
On this project?
On any project.
Yeah, there was once a project I understand that a different school in which they had been awarded, and it's a U.S. Treasury listed required bond.
And was that prior to this letter dated August 13, 2009?
Probably. I don't recall about this project.
but were you aware of the project, or that particular project and that particular bond at the time you wrote this, August 13th, 2009 letter?
Mm-hmm.
Were you? Yes, sir.
Which one?
The Seaforth Federal Performance Fund.
I don't recall whether it's before or after my letter, but I do understand that they do have other projects from different schools. I think it's prior to this, this project.
Thank you, Mr. DeRogan.
I'm still not quite sure on the process, Mr. DeRogan, so if you could bear with me. This letter of August 13th was, you issued it at the request of Mr. from a representative from B Corp,
right,
asked you to write this letter to Mr. Roque Alcantara.
Right.
And so what would be the process next to actually issue the bond if they had decided to go forward? What additional information would you need in order to actually issue the bond?
Well, first of all, before we issue this particular letter, they have applied for a bid bond.
Okay.
And on that bid bond, we already qualified them, but in case they win, we could issue the performance bond.
Oh, so had they won and they requested, you would have been, how quickly would you have issued the letter?
Yes, because they had been pre-qualified when they requested for the bid bond. As what we said, that we make sure that prior to any issuance of bid bond, that they are already a qualified contractor company, that in case that the performance bond would be required, we could issue it any time.
So it just had been a notification saying to issue?
Yeah, if they were successful in their bid, and normally we ask for the notice to proceed documents or any contract that will be given to them, and that's the time we will issue the performance bond.
So had Z4 issued you a notice, given you a copy of the notice to proceed, you would not have required any other work in order to issue the bond?
There's no other requirement except, of course, the last would be the collateral package that will be submitted.
The what package?
We require them to post a security, a collateral. That's one of the terms and conditions when we issue a bid bond, that they should always have a collateral as a security in issuing the performance and payment bond.
And usually what kind of collateral would you normally require?
Well, of course, the surety always prepare either in letter of credit and sometimes a qualified real estate property or a PCD in the form of the time certificate deposit.
So in addition to the notice to proceed, they would have had to post some form of collateral.
Yes.
In order to get the bond.
Right.
Had you issued any prior bonds to Z4 in the past, to my knowledge?
Just a bid bond, a lot of bid bonds that we have issued.
We have on behalf of Z4?
Yes.
So this was a particular contractor that you were familiar with?
Yeah, they have applied, and we look at their qualifications, so we issue a bid bond as far as in other projects.
And did you have any problems in the past with them, or have they performed satisfactorily?
Well, we have not encountered any problem with them, and number one, we have not. As far as the bid bond is concerned, they always submit the qualification and the requirement.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. DeRogan.
Do any of the parties have any questions for the witness as a result of the hearing officer or the public operator's questions?
No.
Mr. Jackson?
Yes,
sir. Mr. DeRogan, did C4 tell you they were awarded this project?
From my recollection, they have all this letter that they will be awarded this project.
Thank you.
No further questions.
Mr. DeRocca, I'm going to excuse you as a witness at this time. Of course, you're subject to recall at any time by any of the parties. I'm going to request that you instruct you not to discuss your testimony with any of the parties or any third party here until these proceedings are over.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for coming here today.
Well, I do excuse because I really have to just...
Yes, sir. No, I'm excusing you at this time.
Okay.
Okay. And please get your notes from your file.
Yeah.
Watch your court.
I really got to do something about that.
Ms. Winnie, your next witness?
Claudia Fronzi.
Okay. Can the staff please call Claudia Fronzi? Mrs. Fronzi, please take the stand. Please be careful of the cord as you step. Thank you.
full name, Claudia Erickson. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? I do.
There's none of your witness.
Excuse me one second. I just want to make sure she has a clear
And for the record, those are your prescription glasses?
No.
You're not?
I forgot mine.
Oh, you forgot yours. Okay. Okay.
For the record.
Could you tell us who you are?
I'm Claudia Erickson, the Chief Procurement Officer for the General Services Agency.
And how long have you been the Chief Procurement Officer?
Since 2003.
And what kind of background do you have to be the Chief Procurement Officer?
Actually, my first procurement work was with the Guam Telephone Authority. I was there for like 16 years. And then I moved over to the Guam Power Authority for another 7 or 8 years. And find my way down to GSA.
And so you've worked with government procurement the whole time?
That's correct.
And what are your responsibilities as Chief Procurement Officer?
My responsibilities is to execute contracts for goods and services for the government of Guam.
And do you also do any contracts for construction?
Not with General Services Agency. The only time I actually handled the construction was when I also had to oversee the ports. When I revoked the delegation of procurement with the Port Authority of Guam. However, the general manager of the Port Authority of Guam asked if I can assist them or continue to guide them throughout the procurement for construction services.
In any of your prior procurement background before you was GSA, did you do any construction contracts?
Yes. I did it with Guam Telephone Authority when it was before private, before it became private lines, and with the Guam Power Authority.
With regard to the Department of Education, could you tell us what went on in June, July of 2009 that got you involved with, just so we have the context of how you become involved with another agency?
With the Guam Department of Education, there was an audit, I guess, that was conducted by the Office of the Public Accountability back then that recommended to see that GSA kind of like assist the Department of Education in terms of their procurement issues. And, so what had happened was, I think it was around June or July that I conducted procurement training just for the Department of Education.
So at that time, with your training, did you go in and go through the forms and the regulations that the Department of Education had in place and train them on those?
That's correct.
Was there also, at that time, I was not on Guam, but my understanding is that there was some actions or activity going on with the U.S. Department of Education and the Department of the Guam Department of Education that caused for procurement to be an issue?
Yes. I think that's when the superintendent, Dr. Marissa Underwood, requested for my assistance even more because there was a lot of issues that were being raised by the U.S. Department of Education.
Thank you.
Both of them are exhibit number 23?
Well, are 23 and 24. The 17th is 23 and August 10th is 24.
Okay, so the letter, just for the record, the letter dated July 17th, 2009, is marked purchasing agencies exhibit number 23. Is that correct?
Correct.
And then the August 10th, 2009 letter will be marked purchasing agencies exhibit number 24. Please proceed.
Can you tell us what the July 17th, 2009, our exhibit 23 is? It's addressed to you, correct?
Yes, that's correct. What that, I guess when Melissa wrote, when Dr. Schaefer Angela wrote this memorandum to me, it was actually requesting for my assistance to have oversight of their procurement office at DOE. However, I know that she wanted this thing here, she wanted me to oversee the personnel, the procurement personnel at DOE. But in discussion with her, I said it's kind of hard for me to manage, the procurement office having to be at two different offices. So that's when we actually spoke, we communicated, and I asked her if they can transit down and be physically at GSA, so they can have on hand and see how a procurement office should actually be handled.
So, Vanessa, so this just sort of gives some time background in it, and that it says your procurement training was in May of 2009. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And she's actually having you deal with the personnel and the practices of DOE as part of this July 17th, 2009 letter?
Yes.
Is that correct? Can you tell us what the August 10th letter is?
The August 10th letter was, I just wanted to make sure that it was documented that they actually physically, the DOE procurement physically moved to GSA, and that, of course, the governor was aware, and not that it was only for the procurement issue, but it was also for the financial. It also included the financial support from our Department of Administration personnel, accounting personnel. So it was kind of like, a memorandum of understanding for both the, procurement and the accounting to assist the Department of Education.
So you stepped in a rather emergency type situation for the Department of Education to help with procurement overall.
Yes. Well, if I may, just so that it's clarified that on the August 10th memo, it was actually just GSA, but then later on, the Department of Education requested to include also the financials, and that's how an MOU got drafted between the Department of Education and Department of Administration and the Governor's Office.
And it had Bureau of Budget Management Resources.
That's correct.
And the Department of Administration.
Yes.
And it formally became a memorandum of understanding in, I think, October of 2009.
Yes, that's correct.
For purposes of this hearing, I just want to clarify, too, that you're the Chief Procurement Officer for the GSA. The Chief Procurement Officer for the Department of Education is the Superintendent?
Yes, that's because they are decentralized, yes.
And they have a separate agency authority for procurement. And inside, since you're familiar with the personnel, there's also a supply manager, administrator that works in a division or a department of the DOE, is that correct?
That's correct.
Objection, there is a compound question.
Okay, could you please break your question
up? Well, could you describe for us what the structure at the Department of Education is as far as procurement?
Of course, procurement consists of a supply manager and administrator, and it also has a buyer supervisor. And buyers, whether they're buyer one or buyer two. And I also believe they did have a procurement officer.
As a government agency, does all the authority of the agency to act come from statute?
There is a 5GPA, the 5 Code Annotated, but with the Department of Education, it has their own set of procurement regulations.
Okay. So everybody's under the codified government procurement act, as well as the agencies are authorized to have their own regulations if they are authorized under statute.
That's correct.
Okay. And the Department of Education has their own regulations.
Yes.
With regard to actual contract matters that were ongoing at the Department of Education, were you involved in any in July of 2009?
No.
In August of 2009, did you become involved with actual contract procurement matters?
Yes.
Are you familiar with the Ocean View Middle School Gymnasium, ISD?
Actually, the only time I got familiarized with that procurement is when in the process of transiting, the transition down to GSA with the procurement staff of DOE, there was an appeal filed by EON.
Okay, so you were involved in the rebid of the ISD for the Ocean View Middle School Gymnasium?
That's correct.
Did there come a time when you closed the offices of the Department of Education?
Yes.
Do you recall the date that that happened?
I believe that's around maybe the end part of August or September.
And so you physically took everything down and all the people down to your office, is that correct?
We took down most of the outstanding, bids, invitation for bids, request for proposals that needed to be completed. We didn't physically move everything in the office, but just the outstanding work that they had.
With regard to the, you mentioned there had been a protest by EM Corporation?
An appeal.
An appeal?
Yes, by the time GSA took over, there was an appeal file.
And did that cause you to look at the procurement file?
What I did was when EON filed an appeal, I contacted the legal officer, the legal counsel of DOE, and we spoke about it. And in my review of the basis of the appeal, was because, again, I think that EON's reconsideration was denied by DOE at the time. Before GSA took over. And then looking at it, the argument was that they did submit an ultimate bid, and it was labeled ultimate bid. And DOE, I guess, wrote a letter to EON saying that there was no explanation for their ultimate bid that they had submitted. So from there, that's where I took the procurement records from DOE and reviewed it from that point to where I responded, or, I communicated with the legal counsel of DOE, wherein we should go ahead and request to dismiss the appeal, and we can. I'm going to go back and reevaluate the procurement file.
And did you reevaluate the procurement file?
Yes, I did. And I discovered that the ultimate bid, there was an explanation on the ultimate bid that stated what they were offering under the ultimate bid that they noted in their bid package.
Could you explain to us what an alternate bid is? There's a basic bid and an alternate bid. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what's the difference between the two?
The alternate is that, they're offering another product that is equal to, but at a cheaper cost.
If they're in a procurement file, how is it handled when you evaluate something? Is there a written memorandum that you do when you do an evaluation if you're an officer evaluating whether or not an alternate bid meets the specifications or not? Or
what normally happens, law, for example, on construction is, of course, a lot, in most cases, the agencies have what they hire architects, in most construction, for construction bids. So what happens is when the bids are open, when the bids are submitted and open, the procurement officer, because we are not experts in construction, what we do is we actually open up the bids, we do a cover letter to the architect saying these are the bids submitted and ready for your review and evaluation, whether they met the specs, because that's why we hire them as architects. And together with the facilities or the building maintenance,
They will work together to actually go through the technical detail of the specification. From there, the end user, or, you know, in this case, the facilities, will write a memo to the procurement officer saying whether they met it or not.
Can you, in the blue book that's there to your right, look at Appellant Exhibit 22? Okay. And what is that?
This is a memorandum dated July 27 from the Administrator Procurement and Supply, and then from the Manager of Facilities to the Administrator of Procurement and Supply.
Are there any attachments to that?
Exhibit 12. It's the memorandum from CRMA to Mr. Rothschild.
Were these documents documents that you reviewed as part of whether or not the alternate bid was explained?
Yes. When I went back and re-evaluated and I noticed this, the letter or the memorandum from CRMA to Rothschild, and then also the memorandum dated July 27, which is Exhibit 22, from the facilities manager to the procurement office of DOE at the time, it was noted there that, again, the alternate bid of EON was evaluated by TRMA, and that they also mentioned there that the acting facilities manager did indicate there that, in fact, they can both, you know, both of these companies actually can meet, and they left it up to the procurement office to make that decision on who to award.
As to the dollar amount and award, as a chief procurement officer, and you're looking at an ISP, are you looking at, what are you looking for as far as making an award with public tax money?
We need to make sure that they met the requirements of the solicitation. That's number one.
And are you also, was EON's or Z4 a higher bid, this dollar amount?
I think the EON's alternate bid was lower than the basic bid of Z4.
Do you, in your review of the procurement file, determine why Department of Education had issued a notice of award or notice of intent of award to Z4?
I can't speak for their action, you know, but again, based on my review of the record, that's when I noticed that they're, you know, in the start of my evaluation of the procurement record when EON filed that appeal, I went back. And what I've noticed there, based on my evaluation, was again the memorandum that was written from the facilities manager to the procurement office stating that both the basic bid submitted by Z4 Corporation and the alternate bid of EON can actually meet the requirement, or they can actually complete the work. So EON being the lowest, even if it was their alternate, should it, you know, based on the face of the document, should it be considered?
Who's Albert Garcia?
Albert Garcia is the vice supervisor of GDOE.
And who's Roque Alcantara?
Roque Alcantara was the supply management administrator of GDOE.
And at some point in time, did he no longer work for DOE?
Right. I think he, I'm not quite sure of the date he resigned or retired, but I think it was around August or September. I'm not sure now. Maybe September, the beginning of September.
Did there come a time that Yance actually filed a protest with the OPA?
Not a protest, but an appeal.
An appeal? And then what did your office do as a result of the appeal being filed?
The commission we took, or GSA took, was in communication with the legal counsel of DOE. But we should request for for dismissal of the appeal so that we can go back and reevaluate the records, like I stated earlier. And through my review, that's where I saw, based on TRMA's response in writing to the facilities manager, both B4 and Beyond did have some, they did submit similar products based on the evaluation of the architect. So in reading the memorandum from facilities manager to the procurement office, it stated there that both V4 and EOMS can complete the work. So from there, that's when I made a decision to say that they're saying both TRMA and the facilities manager, there's in their review, that both of them are able to complete the project. So therefore, EOMS being the lowest, between the basic of V4 and the ultimate bid submitted by EON, they should have been awarded.
Can you look at Appellant's Exhibit 4?
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
That's a notice to proceed dated August 6th.
If you fold it out, what is down below is an acknowledgement of receipt?
Yes.
And the date on that?
August 17th.
Now, does this constitute an award?
Does it constitute an award? Mm-hmm. Actually, a notice to proceed is issued after an award, after the performance bond is submitted for construction projects, is when a notice to proceed is issued.
Is the performance bond required and mandated by law to be submitted in order for a contract in construction to be issued?
Yes, it is.
The GSA used, what form GSA used standard with regard to talking to a contractor as to going forward on contract? They do an evaluation of the bid.
Yes, we do an analysis of the bid.
You do an analysis of the bid. And then you give what do you then do to let the bidders know what's going to happen with the bid?
What we do is we issue out a bid status, is what we call a bid status. But for construction, it's kind of different, Laura, because for construction, is we issue out a notice of intent of possible award. And the reason that is because if the bidder is unable to provide the performance bond, the 100% performance bond, then it's not to be construed as an award. And it's clear in the face of the document of the notice of intent of possible award that, this is not an award. It's a notification of an award.
And do you also then need a purchase order?
Yes, we do.
And is the purchase order countersigned?
Yes, there's an acknowledgement by the successful bidder.
These forms, are they authorized by regulation? Are they standardized forms that you're able to utilize?
Which form? The PO?
The purchase order and notice of intent.
The purchase order is. With the notice of intent, different agencies have different formats.
With regard to your communications with the OPA, did you tell them whether or not there had been an award made in this matter?
No. Elaborate a little bit about my, based on my observation of the procurement record as I was evaluating it, when we requested for the the appeal to be dismissed during Eon's time was that, again, it was a procedural error of DOE to issue out a notice to proceed based on my evaluation without an actual award, without a long-form contract or purchase order to award this construction project. A notice to proceed should have never happened.
With regard to EM, did you have communications with them? And this would kind of direct your attention to something, I think it's calling Exhibit 4, calling Exhibit number 7. In September of 2009, you had some oral communications and some written communications with the Ann Corporation, is that correct?
That's correct.
And did there come a time that you received some additional written clarifications from Ann?
Actually, Laura, the communication between GSA and Eon was because based on the report of TRMA, they needed further clarification. So what we needed to do, what we did was we actually wrote a letter to Eon saying that you need to further clarify these items because I guess they were not written in English and couldn't be understood by the architect at the time, which I believe should have been a question raised even before they completed their review. You know, they should have requested for these clarifications before they actually came out with a formal letter to based on what their evaluation was of the BIS submittals.
For education purposes, could you help us understand when procurement is appropriate and a bid process to go for a clarification?
Actually, it doesn't matter whether it's for goods or services or construction. The statute doesn't prohibit us to clarify if there's something that we didn't understand. What is prohibited is we let them submit a new product or something like that. But in construction, what normally happens is where if, you know, communication takes place, and that is why they do have the pre-construction conferences with the successful bidder. But during the evaluation portion is actually meeting the specifications of the building requirements based on the technical specs. But if I remember correctly, in communication with Rokio Contra at the time, is the normal process at DOE, because I also was trying to understand their process as it relates to construction in their department, being that they're decentralized, is that what they normally do is they don't require all these, the brochures that are submitted are actually not, it can be changed later on after this construction conferences take place with the successful bidder. So it's kind of like that's the way they apply, or that's the process they work with in DOE.
The requirement for brochures, that's a separate requirement versus submitting an alternate bid, is that correct?
That's correct. In the general terms, there's also a box that, you know, indicates whether the bidder can submit an alternate or a basic.
What is the requirement that a bidder is required to submit brochures and literature?
If it's required by the solicitation.
Does it mean that they're supposed to submit brochures and literature with regard to all the products unless specified different?
And that's what I'm saying. According to Mr. Alcantara at the time, the brochures at the time bids are submitted at DOE was only to kind of like guide them or gauge the bidders on what kind of product the department is actually looking for, not that it's going to be used to evaluate the bid submittals, because the bid submittals are evaluated based on meeting the technical requirements of the construction project that's being solicited for. But it doesn't do, and if you notice on TRMA's report, it also states there that, the facilities manager's report on exhibit, I think it was 7 that you guided me to, 4 I think, where it indicates there that, Exhibit 22 of the appellant's full binder. It also states there, if I may read it, that it says, A&E is a fair to technical classes, but on the catalog or material brochures which contractors intend to use if awarded this project, according to TRMA, these are just preliminary judgments and these submittals are not sufficient for construction submittal. Final construction submittal would be required of the contractor once an award is made. They said they also state them between the architect and the facilities manager.
So after the contract is made at a construction contract that they would then
do some... Yeah, like what paint will you be using, what kind of tile will you be using, and that's the way, that's the practice, and that's the practice of the way DOE handles the construction bid, or the construction solicitation.
On August 28th, there was a notice of stay issued, stay of procurement by you to Z4 Corporation. And that, is that correct?
Yes.
Can you tell us whether or not, prior to that notice of stay, whether a performance bond had been received from Z4 Corporation?
There was no performance bond submitted by Z4 Corporation. The only document I came across was the document from Alpha Insurance indicating on the memorandum, on their letter to DOE, to Mr. Rocio Contra, was that the performance bond, or the request of performance bond by Z4 was actually approved, but on the second paragraph it stated in there that Z4 was required to submit some kind of underwriting document. So, in reading that, I was also confused that how can you say they were approved if they're still lacking documentation for submittal, So what if they didn't submit the required underwriting documents? Would they still be approved? That was a question in my mind. But that was dated, I think, August 14th, if I was correct, on the letter from Alpha's Insurance. But after August 28th, we never received, or the procurement file, there was no performance bond within the procurement file submitted by Z4.
there come a time that you issued a change of gift status?
Yes.
And what was the intent of that?
The intent of that was after receiving the documentation or the final documentation or review from the facilities division of DOE, they indicated there that after the clarifications being made back and forth with EONS, that they approved the specification submitted on the alternate bid by EONS. So you would go through the procurement records, the procurement records issued by, or the letters issued to EONS by GSA, they never requested to submit their other brochures. It was all about clarification of their submittal. I'm not saying that they're going to submit other documents. So throughout the process, it was all about clarification.
So your process with EONS, I mean, was just about clarification?
That's correct. And that the facilities, of course, of DOE was going back and forth with the clarifications being submitted by EONS. Because, like I mentioned earlier, we're not the technical people. It goes back to the facilities and their architects. Then they respond to us, and that is why we issued a revised bid status after they informed us that EONS ultimately didn't meet the spec, which again goes back to that June or July 27 memorandum issued by or for, addressed to the procurement manager by Billy Cruz, the acting facilities manager at the time, that both companies can meet or can complete the project.
Did there come a time then that an appeal was filed by D4?
Yes.
And can you tell us what you responded to them as to why you made a determination in favor of EON?
Actually, if I may go back a little, what had happened was D4 then filed a protest with GSA, DOE,
mm-hmm.
Regarding the revised bid status. And on the protesters, you noticed GSA's position was that there was never an award. There was never an official award. And again, because I know, some of the employees of the D4, they're not new to government construction, okay? So they are familiar that before you actually get awarded a contract for construction in the government of Guam, that you have to provide the required 100% performance bond. So it's not like they were new to this, okay? So I kind of communicated, and that's what my response on the protest, on their protest, I responded that there's no actual award because there was no performance bond, number one, submitted by D4, and there was never a contract issued by the Department of Education at the time. And then that's when they filed their appeal with the OPA.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you with regard to the procurement history?
Actually, no. With the procurement history, I just have to note out or point out that the request for performance bond was actually issued by DOE prior to transferring to GSA. On I think they requested for it like sometime in July or something, or August 13, I believe.
If I address your attention, August 6th,
and
request for August 14th
in
the record.
Okay. Normally, based on my long experience with government contracting, the bidders are required or requested to submit the performance bond within a 14-day period. And throughout my career, there's never really an issue of not meeting that 14-day requirement, that the normal, like GTA or Bond Power Authority at the time, we give them 14 days to submit their performance bond when we put out construction bids. With this award, the performance bond was requested, I think, somewhere in August, and then it took them longer, and then D4 requested for an extension. But even before, throughout the record, I've never seen or noticed, or I've never found about a sale procurement issued by DOE before GSA became involved with the file. So the only time we issued a stay was on August 28th. And so there was a lot of ample time for D4 to submit this performance bond, which they never did. to satisfy the requirement of the statute as it relates to construction. So even up to the time they appealed, there was never a performance bond submitted by DCA.
Now, as a separate inquiry, we've found that the technical specification drawings aren't part of the GSA's procurement, DOE GSA's procurement file on the rebid.
Right.
Is that correct?
We only know, GSA had only submitted for the procurement record what we have on our custody when we turned it, when they turned it over. And on the rebid, there was no drawing, or there was no disc, or there was nothing. It was just what we submitted on the procurement record and on the agency report, because that's all that was on the rebid file. Okay? And normally, with the government practice, if they're going to put out a rebid, it doesn't stay the same. The number, the bid number, or the invitation for bid number does not remain the same. It changes. And it's still noted a rebid of whatever the other bid was, just for consistency's sake, so that, again, this kind of stuff doesn't happen. Because in, as it relates to this construction, the procurement records of this construction, there was no drawing. Because if there was, I would have included it with the procurement file, but there was nothing in it, and even amendments that we noticed were backdated even before the bid was announced.
Well, for the rebid. In the procurement history on this, in the initial bid that went out, there were amendments that were issued by the procurement office of DOE, correct?
Correct, for the initial bid.
For the initial bid. When the rebid went out, the rebid documents weren't revised to reflect the amendment language in the rebid language?
That's correct. And if you look at the rebid submittal by these bidders, you know, by the bidders, D4, Aeon, they were still using the amendment issued on the initial bid, if you notice in the bid submittal.
So there was an irregularity in the procurement.
Right, so, right. There was just, that's why after a thorough review, when D4 filed an appeal, I'm trying to recollect now if we went back, GSA went back to say, okay, we will go ahead and, we were requesting, I think, to dismiss the case after a thorough review, noticing that there was no drawings, and then the amendments were all getting crazy, and we were putting this procurement record together and the agency report together. Wee hour of the morning, I'm still putting this package together because I was trying to make out what's going on in this procurement file. So from there, that's when we were requesting to see if maybe we can dismiss it, and it's best to just start clean because it's really messy.
Yeah. Well, and this is just for a larger picture on what happens in procurement and government procurement. It's not just the two bidders that are being looked at, Xeon or V4, Aeon. There were actually 5 bid packages submitted in response to the rebid proposal, I believe, as well as 20 potential bidders that actually were listed as picking up at least a portion of the written specification. So there's a larger pool of potential bidders that are out there that need to be dealt with fairly. Is that correct?
That's correct. But because, you know, we pay our architects to evaluate bids, so what normally happens is we begin with the lowest, bidder. If they find irregularities or, you know, that they didn't meet the spec, then we go to the next. So that the architect don't spend so much time evaluating all 5, and actually the lowest met all the requirements of technical specifications, you know, of the bid submittals. But in this case, with the bid submittals on the rebid, my question was, after reviewing all the files, is what if there was a new bidder that wasn't afforded copies of those plans or the blueprints, the drawings, and the technical specifications of the initial bid? Then what do we do? How do we handle that? And nowhere in their rebid file did it indicate that once if you picked up a bid on the initial bid, of course we don't want them to pay again another $250 if that was the case, to buy another set of plans when they already have one because it didn't change. So then as long as it's noted on the bid solicitation on the rebid that if you picked up or purchased a bid spec on the initial, that it's understood they have the plans. But in this case, nothing was noted on the rebid file, on the rebid package, of some kind of communication where it reverts back to the drawings of the initial bid. So putting on, again, just for consistency sake, also point of clarification on the bidder side. So the question is, what if a new bidder came in on the rebid? What are they going to bid on if they don't have the drawings on the rebid package?
And if the drawings aren't part of the package, are they part of the contract between when an award's made?
Actually, I wouldn't even think there's an award, because what will you evaluate it against without the drawings?
Correct.
For a construction bid, yeah.
And this is $810,000 construction project?
I guess based on the submittal of the
form.
Yeah,
and about $80,000 less of the beyond.
Correct. Well, if I may, just for the clarification's sake, the reason why I revised the bid status and all that was based on the documentation or the writings of the facilities manager to the procurement office even before it was transited or transitioned down to GSA. It was clear on the face of the document that both V4 and E9 was able to do the work based on the analysis of the architect to the facilities manager.
And that's the July 27, 2009 letter from Billy.
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
No further questions. Mr. Jackson, you're with us. Well, before we go, just talk for you. Okay, we could proceed, or we could take a brief recess for lunch. What are the desires of the parties?
Proceed?
Yeah, at least with Mr. Clark.
Okay, so let's proceed.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, afternoon.
Afternoon. So let me first start asking a couple of questions. When GSA came on the scene, so to speak, GSA became involved after Eon's sought an appeal.
That's correct.
And after Eon's filed the appeal, then GSA issued the notice of stay.
That's correct.
And during the time of Eon's appeal, GSA interacted with Eon's attorney and the parties during Eon's appeal.
Yes, yes.
And then you also said that Eon didn't submit a bid protest?
No. Eon's, it was before they submitted a bid protest.
Right, so Eon didn't submit a protest. And then GSA interacted with Eon's regarding submitting additional clarification.
Right, clarification.
And GSA instructed or requested that Eon submit further documentation explaining the terms of its bid.
Right.
And later on, GSA issued a revised bid status.
That's correct.
And then on this revised bid status, Z4's bid was rejected due to high price.
Correct.
Now on the bid status, it didn't notice any non-conformities with Z4's bid.
Right. Other than being high price.
Correct. Now let me talk a minute about the alternate bid process. I understand that GSA's procurement rules and regulations for the alternate bid process are similar. GSA's procurement regulations are similar to the GBOE's procurement regulations regarding alternate bid process. Is that correct?
Correct.
And both the GBOE and the GSA allow for the alternate bid process. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And throughout the documents here, it was GSA never indicated that there is that the alternate bid process was somehow illegal.
No.
Okay, so it's not in violation of the law. Okay. Now, the DOE's procurement regulations state that the alternate, they can solicit alternate bids, and that if it does solicit alternate bids, then they can put requirements for alternate bids. Is that also your understanding?
Yes.
Now, in this project, the solicitation requested, they're informed bidders that they can submit a basic bid or an alternate bid.
That's right.
And then it also, as part of the requirement for an alternate bid, it indicated they have to submit an explanation of the terms.
Correct.
And it also indicated that the explanation is required at the time of opening.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. Now, as you were reviewing let me stop there for a minute. We discussed this letter from Mr. Albert Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
And he, as you indicated, this letter was to Ms. Alcantara. And Billy Cruz works underneath Ms. Alcantara.
No, he doesn't. He actually is the acting facilities manager, and he's actually the head of a division within DOE.
Okay. Now, he indicated that the both bidders could complete the project, but he never indicated that they met the requirements of the ISP, is that right?
That's from my understanding, at least with the way I read the document.
Okay. And that he indicated that that the final construction approval would be required later once the award was made.
That's correct. One is not on.
Now, when you were reviewing the procurement file in this matter, you noted that the GOE erroneously disqualified the bid of Eons because, in fact, they had submitted an explanation.
That's correct.
And then in the you indicated in the bid protest that this explanation was actually it was in the file and it was there at the time of the opening.
That's correct.
And then in the bid protest, this is the agency report now. You indicated that Eons did submit an explanation, and this was confirmed by the project architect.
Correct.
And then you reviewed the report by the project architect.
Right. Mr. Jackson, if I may, the reason I confirmed that the TRM or the architect was aware of that Eons did submit an explanation to their alternate, because actually when they say an explanation, the bidders can't just say, I'm bidding $200,000 on my basic and $300,000 on my alternate, and just $200,000 on the alternate, and not explain what are they offering on the alternate.
Right.
So in this case, based on the review on the July 27 letter that was forwarded from the facilities manager, Billy Cruz, to the procurement officer, it indicated there that the alternate bid of Elon and the Z4 bid, basic bid, which was reviewed, and if you look at TRMA, the architect's review, it had in a column, the Z4, basic, and the Eons document. So how are you going to evaluate something that's not there if that was the argument, but they never submitted it in the beginning, or with their bid package?
You just indicate that they have to submit information to determine what they're bidding on?
No, the GSA only requested to clarify what their submittal was. Because if I understood correctly, the architect saying that some of the documents that were submitted were not in English. So we requested for them to clarify, not to submit additional, but it's to submit additional information to clarify. Not they were saying submit new information. We needed to clarify what their submittals were because according to the architect and the facilities manager, that there was some literature that was submitted in non-English.
Right, and then for some products that TRA found, there was no information submitted or that some of the information submitted was unacceptable.
Was unacceptable? Mm-hmm. Right, I see that on both, D4 and Young.
Now, later on, after the appeal process, you requested that Eon submit additional information.
To clarify.
To clarify.
Yes.
And then the architect then reviewed that the further submittals, the explanation of the, is that right?
That's clarification.
And then you determined whether an explanation was provided based on the architect's findings.
The architect and the facility. So it's actually architect to facility, facilities to procurement.
But I mean, in the industry report, you said that based on what the architect said, they provided an explanation.
Right. Okay. Because again, like I said, it's focused on the architect to facilities, facilities to procurement.
When Luther St. Nicholas came and gave his testimony, he indicated that one of the documents that was reviewed was an itemization provided by Eon, which was what he and you reviewed to determine whether Eon had provided an adequate explanation. Now, I'm going to direct your attention to Exhibit 10. Let's mark in the blue binders the appellant Exhibit 10. Now, this is the document that Mr. St. Nicholas said that you two reviewed and found that based on this document that Eon did was provided an acceptable explanation. Is that correct?
Yes. But this spreadsheet was not provided or done by GSA. Again.
Now, in this document, it notes on the left-hand side some of the major items and materials in the basic bid and the alternate bid.
Okay.
And it's then on the remarks, it provides a brief explanation, and on the right it says difference in price, basic, and alternate.
Right.
And at the bottom, it catalogs the explained differences between explains the differences between Eon's basic and alternate bid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the difference between Eon's basic bid and Eon's alternate bid is about $250,000 in change. And at the bottom here, it indicates that the explained difference totals about $163,000. So apparently there is about $109,000 that is unaccounted for. What I mean by that is it doesn't explain products that combined have a total value of $109,000. Now my question is, based on this document, can you find an explanation for the additional $109,000 of savings in Eon's alternate bid?
To be honest with you, Mr. Jackson, I didn't pay attention to this remark.
Okay.
Because again, it doesn't matter what happens or what the difference is. The fact is we're looking at what was submitted as a bid.
Okay.
Because I didn't really pay much attention on the difference in cost.
Okay. And then there's also a document there's one of the items is a scoreboard.
complete. And there, it doesn't list a difference in the price between the basic and alternate bid. Is that correct?
I don't see anything, but like I mentioned, I didn't pay much attention on that column, on the remarks column.
Okay. And so, a lot of the documents that, or a lot of the products that were submitted by Eons at the time of the bid, and its alternate bid, well, let me start over. Eons basic bid, there was no real problem with deciphering what products were being bid on, is that correct?
Actually, based on my review of the procurement record, the architect at the facility is never considered the basic.
Okay.
It was just the alternate.
Okay. And then their alternate bid, as you mentioned at the beginning, at the time of opening it, you know, there was a bunch of submittals in Chinese, and it was difficult to determine actually what products they were being offered. Okay. Okay. Now, are you aware that V4 had submitted a request to Mr. Alcantara, a request for a continuance to submit the performance bond?
I'm aware that they did submit a request to extend the submittal date of the performance bond.
And that was just so we're all on the same page. We mm-hmm. we looked at that earlier. I believe you're out of the room. That is exhibit 6, and that indicates that it was August 14th where it submitted a request. And then after that request, V4 received the notice to proceed. Is that correct?
I got to recollect my memory on that date of the notice to proceed.
Okay. Go ahead and flip to appellant exhibit 4.
Okay. Yeah, August 6th.
Now, did you have a request for Z4 to come down and sign the purchase order?
No.
Okay. Do you aware anyone at the DOE that instructed Z4 to come down and sign the PO?
No. In fact, I did question that in reviewing the procurement records. Why then is there a purchase order number indicated on the notice to proceed? Again, the response was this is their standard. However, they would not issue the purchase order without Z4 submitting in their performance bond, 100% performance bond.
Now, did you ever instruct Z4 to submit their performance bond after they sent the request for continuance?
I don't recall.
And are you aware of anyone at the DOE that instructed V4 to submit its performance bond?
According to Mr. Garcia on communication with him,
I wanted to, again, find out if any time that we took over, if they received a performance bond as it relates to this ocean view, because it was one of the priorities of DOE to award this contract. And according to Albert, D4 saying they'll bring it in, it's always next week, you know, tomorrow, but it never materialized.
Okay. And then they were never actually said, you know what, we've waited long enough, submit your performance bond.
No, not that I recall. I'm not sure, I never asked them that.
Okay. Earlier, when you were being questioned, you indicated that GSA never issued an award, or the DOE never issued an award to Z4. Is that, am I recalling that correctly?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, Z4 was late in submitting its performance bond.
That's correct. Well, never did. Never submitted.
Okay. And if you can recall, in October 29th of this year, in response to Z4's bid protest, you indicated that no award had been made.
That's correct.
Now, if you can go ahead and... That is found in Exhibit 2. Now, that's the letter that you sent to Z4, and I'll date October 29, 2009. And then attached to that, there was an October 29 letter dated the same day that was from Albert Garcia, and that was submitted with the bid protest that said that no award had been made.
That's correct.
Now, in the last paragraph, Albert Garcia, this letter was supporting your opinion in the bid protest letter. And at the end, in the last paragraph, he says, furthermore, after inputting information on the requisition and making the award to Z4.
Mm-hmm.
So he indicated that the award was made.
I'm not construing it in that way.
Okay.
But just based on working with him and how he actually seems to make his statement, he's saying as he was making
I hate to cut you off, but I'd rather not have you speculate.
Okay.
But,
okay.
But I appreciate it.
Hold on.
Now, I just have a couple more questions about the transition between the DOE, or you, the GSA and the DOE. And I'm going to address your attention to Exhibit 24. This is the Talib, Exhibit 24, or the DOE. Do you have another command? You have it right in your hand. Mr. Fadji, it's on your right hand.
Oh, this one? Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No,
okay.
Now, in August 10, this is Exhibit 24. Talib Exhibit 24. Data August 10th. It's indicated there that it is imperative that the procurement procedural issues not slow down the process. And this was due to the receipt or the DOE soon receiving approximately $63 million from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act.
Mm-hmm.
So according to this letter, the reason the GSA began overseeing the GDOE's procurement activities is because it was a vital interest of the territory to get these projects moving.
That was not the only reason, Mr. Jackson. It's actually more that they were having so much procurement issues.
Right.
And what we were asked us is that you can even see that through their audit responses. And that was our GSA was asked to assist in the department's procurement processes.
Okay. Now, I asked you earlier today, or just a few minutes ago, the GOE officials were actually in the department of the GSA. Let me start over. You indicated that the DOE officials were physically in the GSA facility. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that the offices, the procurement offices at the DOE were actually shut down.
Right.
And that the GSA issued the state procurement, was interacting with EON, issued the revised bid status document. Excuse me. So GSA was essentially conducting the procurement activities for, as far as this bid.
Towards the end.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, towards the end.
Yes.
And your impression is pretty much all but over when GSA began overseeing this project.
When you say over, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, the agency was waiting for was just for Z4 to submit its bonding requirements.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you indicated earlier that you've done procurement contracts with, I believe, the GTA and the port. Is that correct?
The port and also Bond Power Authority.
Excuse me, MGTA. Since your time at the helm at GSA, have you ever conducted a construction project?
Yes, for the port.
Okay, so for the port, you've conducted a construction project.
Yes.
Does GSA normally conduct procurement activities for construction projects?
Not normally.
And
unless we're, requested to assist.
No. GSA, under statute, has the authority to procure supplies and services.
Correct.
And that GSA does not have the authority to do that. Normally, construction contracts go through the DPW.
That's correct.
Can you tell me what happened in regards to GSA's oversight of the DOE's procurement last week?
Their oversight?
Right.
What do you mean?
Objection.
Well, can I continue?
What's the nature of the objection, Ms. Quinn?
Just relevance last week as opposed to...
Your response? Okay, your response, Mr. Jackson?
It'll take about three more questions to show that the GSA is no longer overseeing the procurement activities of DOE and is therefore no longer an interested party in this matter.
Well, are you referring to an oversight hearing that occurred last week?
They
talked about an oversight hearing.
No, what I mean is I'm referring to an article that was published in the paper.
I apologize. Okay.
And it says that procurement responsibilities were restored to Guam Department of Education after turning those to the GSA for six months.
Well, hang on. On the objection, overrule the objection.
Well, we'll stipulate that the DOE has its procurement back inside DOE as of last week. And this particular matter arose and is before you based on the procurement history. And at all times certain to this.
What was the date that it was restored?
Thursday last week, I believe.
Well, Mr. Jackson, I'm going to allow you to proceed further in your line of questioning to establish a foundation about that. Please proceed. Your objection is overruled, Mr. Chairman.
Can you instruct us as to when the when the DOE regained its procurement responsibilities?
Oh, I guess it was 2 weeks ago Thursday.
2 weeks
yes,
ago Thursday.
Yes, I can't remember what the date was.
So at this point, GSA no longer oversees the procurement activities of the DOE.
That's correct.
So from this point forward, or excuse me, 2 weeks forward, the DOE will handle this procurement project.
That's correct.
Can you instruct us as to why, just after 6 months, the DOE was regained its procurement responsibilities?
Actually, Mr. Jackson, with the return of the procurement staff to DOE, it was under the request of the superintendent of the department.
Okay.
It's not to say they were ready to go back, but it was under the request of the superintendent.
So the request of the superintendent, basically said that, you know what, we want responsibility back over our own procurement.
That's correct.
And this was after about 6 months, after August 10, 2009, where and July 17, 2009, where the superintendent says that, you know, we need GSA to oversee. So it's about, I guess, let me just start over. This was after only about 6 months, and is that correct?
That's correct.
And it came upon the request of the superintendent.
Correct.
Let me just see if I have any more questions. Thank you. I do actually have just a quick topic I'd like to talk about. In the bid protest, bid protest denial letter, GSA indicated that there was no pre-construction meeting had occurred in this matter.
There was no?
No pre-construction meeting had occurred.
That was because when I communicated with Mr. Watara, he asked that, because again, that was an issue raised, but they said they never did.
Okay. And so that's why in the agency report, it also indicated that there had been no pre-construction meeting either.
Correct.
And that was based upon Rod Trias said that there was no pre-construction meeting?
Correct. Because I wanted to make sure I confirmed that.
Okay. Did you ask anyone else at the DOE whether there had been a pre-construction meeting?
I can't recall.
Sina Moss, any more questions? I might have someone redirect, but for now,
okay. We're going to take a brief recess for lunch. Okay. We're going to reconvene at 2:30 this afternoon. And Ms. Bozzi, I'm going to remind you that you're still a witness on the stand. And I'm going to instruct you not to discuss your testimony today with any of the parties or any of the other witnesses until these proceedings have concluded. We're going to start with your continued testimony on the stand, and I'm going to ask you to come back.
Okay.
Okay? All right. So that being said, we're in recess till 2:30, off the record at 1:10. Thank you.